Monday, May 9th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions, put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, last Thursday we talked about the leaking to Politico concerning the opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito, the initial draft majority opinion, which, assuming this is a correct opinion, would overturn Roe v. Wade. On Thursday's podcast, we spent a lot of time talking about the unprecedented leak. In fact, you called it a breach concerning this. You also mentioned this was really a two-part story, the breach as well as the opinion itself. Today, I want to focus in on the opinion. Let's take a look at some bullet points concerning this opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito.
This is one of the most monumental stories that will happen in a lifetime because it deals with the issue of the sanctity of life and a culture moving back from its 50-year devolution into a culture of death and now reaffirming to some degree the culture of life through a Supreme Court decision. We want to look at the content of the opinion, even though we want to confess up front, this is not the final opinion. The final vote has not been taken. That leak, what I think is going to be proven to be a criminal act, likely came out of the staff or clerks of one of the dissenting justices to this potential majority vote to affirm once again the sanctity of life in the Constitution. But what we know now are a number of things. Number one is this opinion declares forthrightly there was no constitutional foundation for Roe v. Wade or Casey versus Planned Parenthood. Secondly, it affirmed that this issue of abortion is a state issue to be decided by elected officials. And it was actually in the process of being settled state by state through legislation when the Supreme Court knowingly intervened to stop that process and tried to settle it through a fabricated constitutional opinion of Roe v. Wade. Thirdly, they basically declared the judicial actions of the Supreme Court in Casey and in Roe, they declared them as unconstitutional in and of themselves. And the point of the opinion is we must return the United States back to the rule of law, and we cannot allow judicial activism to take place, and we cannot allow political and cultural infringement upon the rule of law that Supreme Court justices must rule faithful to the law. Now, what about the trumpeted stare at decisis? In other words, once the Supreme Court has decided something, the integrity of the court demands that precedent be upheld. Well, we have already seen that we have had to undo precedent in numerous occasions that the Supreme Court has gotten it wrong and it has to be corrected. The rule of precedent does not trump the rule of law. The rule of precedent does not trump the Constitution. The rule of the Constitution may not only decide a case, but may have to decide a case to undo a wrong decision from a previous case, which is what they're doing in this opinion.
Indeed, Samuel Alito's draft opinion said, it has been said that it is sometimes more important that an issue be settled than that it be settled right. But when it comes to the interpretation of the Constitution, the great charter of our liberties, which was meant to endure through a long lapse of ages, we place a high value on having the matter settled right.
So therefore, what they're saying in this opinion is that Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood must be overturned and the issue of abortion must be returned back to the state. That's the bottom line, that those were wrong decisions and they were wrongly motivated, wrongly implemented, and now they must be overturned in order that the issue be returned back to the states. And one of the things that has been a blessing is to see the increasing number of states, it now numbers 26, that have made decisions that affirm the sanctity of life to varying degrees. Tom, there are moments who are taken to the woodshed, and rightly so, to be chastised. I thought that this opinion actually did that in terms of the Burger Court's motivation to come up with this constitutional fabrication of the right to abortion.
One of the comments that Justice Alito put in his opinion was, and I quote, "This court cannot bring about the permanent resolution of a rancorous national controversy simply by dictating a settlement and telling people to move on. Whatever influence the court may have on public attitudes must stem from the strength of our opinions, not an attempt to exercise raw judicial power."
That was a shot across the bow concerning the motivation and objective of the Roe v. Wade decision by Berger. They were attempting to settle the issue through raw judicial power. The best influence is when it brings judgments based upon the law itself. The integrity of the court to maintain the rule of law according to the Constitution actually positions the court for its greatest influence.
Interestingly, President Biden, the following day that this draft opinion was leaked, put out a statement talking about there has been 50 years of precedent in which women have enjoyed reproductive rights. He went on to say it will fall on voters to elect pro-choice officials this November. At the federal level, we need more pro-choice senators and a pro-choice majority in the House to adopt legislation that codifies Roe, which I will work to pass and sign into law.
That was very disappointing to me, but it was very revealing. It tells me that this strategic breach was designed to bring political pressure. So immediately the president began to bring the political pressure to motivate the cultural elite in order to maintain the culture of death and darkness in our society. Well, Harry, what should he have done given his platform? I'll tell you what he should have done. He should have decried the criminal behavior of the attempt to intimidate the court instead of joining in the intimidation of the court. He should have said, this decision must be addressed. There is no doubt about that. And you will have an opportunity in the future at the state and federal level to address these issues. But we cannot tolerate the undermining of the court through the breach of law, as was done, no matter what the purpose might have been. My final comment, Tom, is when I first heard of the likely accuracy of this draft opinion and the overturn of Roe v. Wade, I honestly was just overwhelmed with joys and tears because of my great desire that the nation that I love would return to the sanctity of life. But secondly, I was also overcome with more tears, not of joy, but of lament, because I thought back to the millions, the absolute millions of lives that have been eradicated under the cover of this Roe v. Wade opinion of the Berger Court. I am so grateful for a correction, and I know there's a big battle ahead at the local level, the state level, but most of all at the heart level. This is the heart of our nation that is at stake. When Joe Biden says all of the women that are going to be injured by this decision, I'd love for him to be able to meet the women who never got the opportunity for womanhood, who were eradicated in the womb, and likely it was far beyond the majority of the 60 million plus in America that lost their life by Roe v. Wade itself, and also the women that were told their crisis pregnancy could be solved by abortion and have paid the price and the consequences physically and emotionally since then. But this is not time for a victory lap. This is a time of sober joy and an understanding that the evil empire of the culture of death and its satanic strategies will not stop. In fact, what we are seeing is the continuation of it. But I look forward now to the movement of the Spirit of God in the hearts and lives of men and women with saving, transforming grace through the gospel of our Savior Jesus.
There have been periods of time in world history and in our nation's history where God brought about great revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which led to widespread positive response to the good news of Jesus Christ. Dr. Harry Reeder examines biblical revival as seen in both the Old and New Testament in his 20-part series, Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective. This would make a welcome addition to your personal study or for a group Bible study. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/revival. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.